Welcome to the Fearless Beauties Podcast, a space dedicated to shattering beauty standards and celebrating the diversity of the industry. On season 5, we're getting back to our roots with a focus on education on treating melanin-rich skin. We'll be interviewing beauty school owners, entrepreneurs, and instructors as we amplify voices of color, sharing stories of innovation, inspiration, and empowerment. So settle in and get ready to be inspired. Welcome back to Season 5, Episode 3 of the Fearless Beauties Podcast. With us today, we have special guest Erica Cooper-Deaton, and we will be expanding on the collision of holistic aesthetics education and inclusivity. I am your host, Alina Velez.
And I'm your co-host, Asia Lowe.
Erica, welcome to the show. We are so excited to have you on today.
Oh, thank you. I'm really excited to be here, and I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. Well, before we start drilling you with questions, I just want to give our listeners a little bit of background on you and what you're all about. So Erica is a passionate esthetician who believes in combining a holistic approach to skin with advanced technology and knowledge. She began her formal training with her best friend and mentor, Parisian makeup artist Thora Daniels, and then went to school at the holistic-based aesthetic school called Euro Institute of Skincare. After graduating the Euro Institute, Erica received her Master Aesthetics license in Washington State. She owns and operates Juno Aesthetics in Bellevue, Washington, and there she concentrates on advanced customized facials, chemical peels, MLD, microneedling, and nanoneedling. In addition to that, and operating her Juno Aesthetics, Erica is also a licensed aesthetics instructor at her alma mater, the Euro Institute of Skincare, for the past 8 years. She's also served as a consultant for aesthetic business startups and offered private training classes to estheticians. So awesome, Erica. Gosh.
Yeah, that's about it. This past year, I also got the chance to give back to the community. So I have been representing on the cosmetology board here in Washington for master estheticians. So I have a few hats right now, and I'm really excited to wear all of them.
That's amazing.
We need powerful voices in the industry that are sitting on the board and making educated decisions, right? So thank you for wearing that hat. Question here, let's get into this. What drew you to the aesthetics industry and more so education?
I think if you talk to most estheticians, they'll tell you they were doing the job long before they were formally doing the job. So I can say that both being an esthetician and a teacher has been in the fabric of my life, my entire life. Any job I've ever had, I've tried to somehow work out some sort of educational role where I'm teaching others or working in training. And I've always loved skin. So when I got to a point in my life where I wanted to make some changes, my best friend Thora had mentioned, why don't you go to, she called it skin school. Why don't you go to skin school? And, you know, I was already had an established career. I was taking a break and I just felt like it was time. So I looked into it and I was here in Washington and I looked into the Euro Institute of Skincare and saw what a well-respected school it was. And I thought on a whim, I'm just going to go. And I love skincare so much. Maybe if I graduate, I'll get a discount, you know, and on products and all the things I'm already buying, you know. And
yeah.
I can very wholeheartedly say that it changed my entire life. It changed the trajectory of my life. And I realized that this is what I should have been doing my entire adult career. I love aesthetics. I love being around products and services and people. I love talking about it. So when I graduated, I went to laser school to kind of learn to work in a lot of different places. And I really enjoyed it. But I missed teaching. I missed being around that environment. And so I had gone back to my school and asked them if there was any way that I could teach. It was kind of relatively new to when I had graduated even. And I did have some teaching in my background, so I was able to accelerate that. And I'm very lucky that they let me come on as a guest speaker at first. And then after that, I was hired as staff. And then I've been teaching at the Euro Institute for maybe 8 years, I think. 8 years or so. During that time, I also got a chance to try entrepreneurship. So I opened up my own business, and I feel like it's very important to me that I am a working esthetician and that by being a working esthetician, I'm able to bring that experience into my teaching.
Absolutely. That's huge. Yeah. I'm just curious, what was your career before you made the change to aesthetics?
I've had a couple. I have a BA in English literature, and I have a master's degree in industrial and organizational psychology. Previous to coming to Washington, I had worked for a software company that provided educational assistance to universities and different programs and things. I also taught some college courses as an adjunct, and I enjoyed that a lot. I had worked in the banking industry at one point. I'd worked in retail. So I had quite a background of different jobs, and I could say that I liked all of them and I did well in all of them, but none of them felt like it felt when I started working as an esthetician. When I started working as an esthetician, I realized the difference between having a job and having a career. That even on my, you know, hard days as an esthetician, it's like a privilege for me to be able to do this job. And I love it. I've done quite a few things. And in those roles, like I said, I like teaching. I like training. I loved communicating with others and talking about things. So it seemed a natural transition to be teaching in aesthetics. But it's really that aesthetics portion that made a difference for me in my life and understanding what a job and a career is.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It doesn't always feel like working because it just feels... it just feels different. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yes. And I've never, you know, in some of my previous jobs, it would be stressful, or there's definitely situations that correlate, or where I might have to have a deadline, or I might have to do different things. But leading up to that, it's exciting. You know, it's fun. Like, I recognize how in aesthetics, we get this opportunity to think on our feet and to help others and also to learn a lot. I say all the time that being a teacher in aesthetics has taught me so much. It's why I never want to leave it, because I learn so much from my students. So it's not a matter of like just kind of understanding that this job is so dynamic. It can change and grow as you change and grow.
For sure. What would you say is the most rewarding part of your job?
In teaching and in owning my business and being a working esthetician in both parts of those, the most rewarding part is interacting with people. You know, I love my students. Every student I've ever had, like I said, has taught me something that I needed to know.
Yeah.
And they've been some great lessons for me. I think with clients, I learn so much about how to help others and nurture others. And that happens in teaching as well. But they also challenge me to learn new things in my industry and to develop myself as an esthetician and a teacher. So I think dealing with the people that I do in both professions really is the most rewarding part, and seeing how we create together. You know, when a student learns something new and is excited about it, wow, that is, you can't match that. You know, when you show them, oh, and this is what, you know, something even like this is what hyaluronic acid does, and they get it, and you're like, oh my God, this is so exciting, you know? But also with clients, you know, when they use a product that you recommended and they come back and they're like, this, you know, this, oh my gosh, my skin looks like this and I really appreciate it. And you're like, yes, I made the right choice, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think too, like on the flip side of things, like it's, especially with teaching, there are sometimes some difficult students and I think that there's always something to learn. It's not always, you know, fun and games and massage and relaxing. There are challenging times that, on both ends, on the learning end and on the teaching end. And I think that there's still a lot of beautiful, lessons to be learned in those situations too.
Well, you know, I agree. And I think a lot of that has to do with how willing I am to look at myself and the situation.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and there's so many preconception, you know, just this idea of like what school is and what people come to the table. There is a big difference between traditional academic school and trade school, and aesthetic school somehow falls in the middle of this because we are learning some really intricate things, but we're also learning skill-based set. So there's a lot of kinesthetic learning. There's a lot of hands-on learning, but there's also a big academic portion of it. There's also career development. There's also personality development. And one of the things I try to do in my teaching is always remember what it feels like to be a student. So yeah. I talk a lot about when I was a student and, you know, some of the things I did, like I really disliked laundry. When I was a student, I often tried to avoid it. And so when I see someone avoiding helping in laundry, I go, hey, I know how that feels and let's work together.
But I think that's amazing, Erica, that you as an educator and as a leader, you're not afraid to get your hands dirty, you know, for lack of a better word. But that is true leadership to me, you know, because there are people in our type of position of education where they won't, you know, step down to help with those kinds of things or take the time to have that little conversation with the student. Like, hey, this is important. This is a big part of your career. That's awesome.
But I saw that in traditional education as well. And I think it means a lot to people to come to aesthetic school. You know, when we're in secondary school sometimes, or, you know, like in high school, it's because somebody forced us to be there. We had to be there, you know,
right.
You have to show up. Aesthetic school truly is a choice. You know, somebody has to, I always say you sacrifice a lot to come to school. And I'm very grateful to be a part of that process. You know, it takes time, it takes effort, it takes money. And so all of those things there, I'm just grateful for the opportunity to be a part of it. And to help these students reach goals. And one thing I say to students that applies for me as well, no one can ever take away your education.
Mm,
no matter what
good.
You do in your life, when you graduate from aesthetic school, you can obtain a license and have a skill set that can get you a job, and you will always have that.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
As long as you keep your license active.
Right. <Yes. laughs> Definitely.
For sure.
Yes.
How many of your students also maintain a job while they're going through school?
Oh, that's a great question. I often recommend not doing that.
Yeah.
But that's not always feasible, you know. So one of the things that our school strives to do is to offer different schedules to accommodate different work schedules. So we have different daytime starts, and we also have nighttime classes. So we do have, I can't give you a percentage off the top of my head, but we definitely have working students.
Yeah.
And we try to offer these different schedules to help them understand what it's like to be able to, it's like working two jobs at once, you know, which I've definitely done while I was in school, not in aesthetic school, but in previous schooling, you know, I worked jobs while I, and it takes a grasp of time management. It takes a hard grasp of time management. And that's one of the things that we talk about with our students and understand that some of them are working and that they aren't necessarily accommodated just for being working, but rather like how can our schedules align?
Right. Okay, well, kind of switching gears here. Talk to us about what unique aspects of the holistic approach are emphasized in your guys' curriculum that really just kind of sets your program apart from others.
Oh, this is a favorite subject of mine because when I came to school here, I knew nothing about this portion of it. I went here just because it was close to my house and the schedule worked. And like I said, I thought I might get a discount, you know, on some products. And then I learned what holistic wellness meant and how it contributes to the skin and all the different aspects that the Euro Institute offers to students. And that's the part where I said it changed my life. So here in our program, we do try and keep a focus on holistic wellness and how that commitment to honoring the body can heal the skin. So we talk a lot about not just skincare and skin products and procedures, but we talk about things like stress and nutrition and lifestyle choices. And we have a naturopath that comes in to lecture to our students. We have an Ayurvedic portion of the curriculum. We teach acutonics, which is vibrational tuning forks for the face. And we talk about how that contributes to the health of the skin. We try to expose the students. And I would not say it's as much as, you know, some people, they get just a little taste of it and they realize, oh, this is something I want to focus on. So we try and give them exposure to lots of different things in that wellness community. So it's not an in-depth approach for all of that as much as it is exposure and the opportunity to explore it if they would like.
Solid foundation, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah. And then in our own program, in our curriculum, we talk about the health of the skin in relation to different approaches. So we do teach facials. And in those facials, we talk about how holistically you would approach them. So you might use a machine to help you or technology to help you this way, but you could also approach it in this more holistic manner. And so we offer like two of the facials that we teach here. One of them is they're both for a mature client. One of them utilizes some incorporation of just product and doing things like manual lymphatic drainage. And then the other one, we use some tools in it. So you can see both sides of how holistic approach and a more technology heavy approach can both help the skin.
I love that.
That's great.
And how often would you say your team revises their curriculum?
I'd like to say daily.
That's awesome.
I love that.
But we all have, the team here is phenomenal. I know I love being at the Euro Institute because of the staff. Too. Like it is, we all contribute. We all have areas of focus. We all get really excited to study something and then bring it to the table.
Yeah.
So our core curriculum was developed by our founder, Anne-Marie, and we always honor that. That is the base of our curriculum and what the state requires us to teach, you know? Mm-hmm. And then we build off of that and we try and develop and change it. And I will say our director, Michelle Estes, is on the forefront of making sure these students have the best of the best available to them. So, for example, when I went to school here, I think I had two certifications. And right now, I think we're offering maybe at least over 10. So she's constantly looking into things that can not necessarily raise the price of tuition, but give students new opportunities. So we do change parts of the curriculum based on things that we learn or develop or want to add. And that includes Fearless Beauties. That's something that we brought in, you know, that
I wanted to touch on that. Yeah. Spectrum's been partnered with you guys. Fearless Beauties has been partnered with you guys for a while now.
Yeah.
And so talk to us about, you know, have you had any like success stories or feedback from students on the certification? What has been your experience with it?
Oh, for sure. Like, I know Michelle was so excited to bring Fearless Beauties to the Euro Institute. And as instructors, I'm speaking for myself, but I'm sure the other instructors would feel the same. We were really excited to have it because, you know, it's just more education for these students and for ourselves to really understand the global community that we live in. And also some of the things that were happening naturally to me as an esthetician, I now had an additional resource to help me build on. I can give you a personal success story, which is I had a friend who was paralyzed from the neck down. And I remember when I got the Fearless Beauties book, and it was talking about servicing our clients with disabilities. And how I'd never even thought about, like in his case, I was wanting to give him a facial, and there are certain things that I knew I could do and things that I couldn't do, you know. And I love the idea of introducing that to students. Like, these are things that we need to be talking about, you know. And honoring, because they're naturally happening in the workplace. And also, we are here to provide for our clients. So we want to be able to provide properly for each client and whatever their need is. So I really love that Fearless Beauties continues to expand on different areas as well.
Yeah, I think it's really important as providers, estheticians, to feel comfortable treating everybody who walks through your door, no matter their skin color, no matter their disability or ability or what have you, because we live in a very diverse world now more than ever.
And it isn't, to me, ignorance is not an excuse. So, you know, and I talk to students about that, that it's not okay to say, well, I don't know. It's more appropriate to say, I'm going to research that, or I'd look into that, because we are able to service and help everyone, and we want to do it safely and with good knowledge. But just saying, I don't know, I've never done that before, I don't know that, I don't know how to do that, that means that we look into it, we gain education from it, we take the opportunity to learn, and then we comfortably approach.
For sure. Alongside Fearless Beauties, are there any other programs or certifications that you offer to students about inclusivity?
You know, I know that we have some through M'Lady, like, and some different exposure that way. There are some things that they aren't formal, but that we do talk about. Like, personally, in my class, I try and give students some information on different leaders in the community that are able to kind of expand on some of this. So one that I talk a lot about is Joel Burville. I think that's how you say his last name. He's a med student, and he's on Instagram. And he's studying, he's currently in school, but he has like over 450,000 followers. And he talks a lot about how things look in medicine for different people and how we need to go about changing some of that. And so we talk about that. Another one that a resource that I talk to students about, not investing in, because you can look at it for free, but you can also have a paid account, is Visual DX. So Visual DX is where you can, it's almost like a, I call it my online dermatologist to look at things. It's one of the ways that you can look at different things going on in the skin, in all skin types and tones. It's a visual clinical decision support system. So these are things that are outside of our curriculum that personally I talk to my students about. But as instructors, we just have this different approach, and we each offer different resources within our classes.
I think that's so incredible, Erica, because it's such like kind of an untalked about thing because, okay, so at Spectrum, the school that Asia and I teach at, we have students do like a diseases and disorders project. Okay. So they make a PowerPoint or whatever, some type of visual. And a lot of the time, the visuals are of white skin with conditions.
Yeah.
And you go and you Google it, and that's all that comes up.
Yeah.
And so I think that these resources that you're giving students, I even wrote them down because I'm interested myself, are so just invaluable because it exists. And if you don't see it, you don't think that it exists. And so you might get a client in your chair and be presenting with something that maybe resembles rosacea or maybe it's acne. But if you had taken the time to, dive into these resources, you would have a better understanding of how diseases and disorders can present in melanin-rich skin and ultimately be a better provider and produce better results. And so that's just incredible. I love that.
For sure.
I love that too. I'm definitely going to have to look up those accounts.
Well, that's just, like I said, that's not necessarily even a part of our curriculum. That's just stuff that I talk about, but each instructor brings experience to the table, and we all talk about different things that we've personally seen or done. And there's so much of a richness in this industry of building and sharing with one another that we're very capable of. I'm a big proponent of community over competition.
Mm-hmm.
So talking a lot about things and sharing different things is really what I feel is going to change this industry. So this discussion, yes, right.
Yes.
But this discussion is so important. So I don't, necessarily know how we can weave it as a fabric to apply to all schools everywhere. But I think something like Fearless Beauties is the beginning of that. And having some kind of addition to core curriculum that can really help expose. So that's the one thing that in every class we all have, right? We have this Fearless Beauties discussion, we have the workbook. And our PowerPoints here, Michelle really tries very hard to have a lot of different representation. So in our lectures on things like, Cooper rosacea or something like that might come up, we do try to have different pictures of different things.
So important. Mm-hmm. So important. You guys are doing good work.
Yes.
Yeah. One last question here. Are there efforts to ensure a diverse range of models for students to practice on?
Yes, in the sense that we are in quite a dynamic community. So we purposely keep our price point lower to allow for our surrounding community to have access to the school. And we have a lot of clients that come here, and they're all active members of our community that support the school. And the city that we're in, Renton, is such a fantastic place. And I would say that we're very lucky to be where we are, that Renton businesses really support one another. The Renton Chamber of Commerce is wonderful here. And so our community supports the Euro Institute, and that community is a wide range of individuals. And we're so lucky for that.
That's wonderful.
I would love to have more, and I'm always on. I'm always talking about the school. So in the outer areas as well, anybody, we would love to have them. So we're always talking about the school, but we don't have like an advertising budget or anything like that.
Sure.
But we do try. Personally, like, I have people that I know I want to come in, and I'll be like, hey, come by the Euro. And I think word of mouth does a lot as well for us, but we don't have something necessarily in place other than the support of our community, which is a phenomenal community and very diverse in nature, but we could always use more. That is true.
Sure. Well, it sounds like you guys are really proactive and the effort is there. And for everybody listening, if you're in the Washington area, go check them out. but we're going to go ahead and close up this episode, Erica. And we just want to thank you so much for your time and your wisdom. If you could just share your Instagram handle or best ways to connect with you.
Oh, sure. I love Instagram. I do love posting goofy videos, so please come and watch them if you like. It is on Instagram. It's Erica, E-R-I-K-A underscore master underscore esthetician with an E. And if you look on TikTok, it's the same. And those are the only two I think I'm on. Inadvertently, I'm on Threads because of Instagram, but not, I wouldn't say I put a lot of effort into that one.
Okay. Okay. And as always, you guys can find us on Instagram at Fearless Beauties and myself. My personal page is at True Skin Lab in Asia.
You can find me on Instagram at Aesthetics by Asia LLC.
Oh, I do want to give a shout out because our Instagram for the school is so great. One of our staff members, Brittany, works very hard to create a fun Instagram for both students and our community. And you can find that account at Euro Institute. If you look that up, Euro Institute of Skincare, and it will come up for you. And she posts all different types of things on that account.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks again, Erica. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And we'll catch you on the next episode.
Thank you very much to both of you. I really had a good time and I love talking about this stuff. So thank you for the opportunity.